Hello, thanks for being with us. Welcome back to Part 5 of Revelation's Synopsis of End Time Events. Last week, in Part 4, we talked about the difference of the first beast of Revelation rising up out of the sea and the second beast rising up out of the earth. As I said before, when the Bible describes the beast from the sea or the beast from the earth, it is actually giving a symbolic description that describes that particular beast according to how its work is accomplished. In order to understand the work of the second beast, you need to recognize what is really taking place with its emergence out of the earth instead of out of the sea. 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan, as a roaring lion, walks about the earth and seeks people to devour. Now, it's fairly plain to see that Satan is not a real physical lion. We can see that the Bible is using symbolism here to describe Satan's actions, which are actually spiritual in nature and not physical. The actual work that Satan is doing is not seen outwardly with physical eyes, but must be discerned spiritually. But the second beast is not hidden from physical eyes. Its work is plainly evident to humans. In fact, the diabolical work that this second beast does is actually accomplished by the people of earth themselves. And therefore, the rising of this second beast can be seen as coming up out of the earth. If you take a look again at Revelation 13:14, you may be able to see what I mean. It says that the second beast encourages those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the first beast. Notice that this is not something that Satan creates, but the people of earth actually create this image. This is the work of the second beast, in that this second beast is the spirit of evil, which rises up in the people of earth themselves, and it is actually humans who begin to carry out the diabolical work of Satan. It's Satan's work, but work which is directed through both the first beast and through the second beast. However, the second beast does not become active until God allows it. This second beast only comes into the picture when God removes the hindrance to Satan and he is allowed to proceed with his wicked opposition to God without restraint. This hindrance and the removal of this hindrance is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Satan is hindered from applying his complete force of deception until such time as the mystery of iniquity is to be exposed. The revealing of this mystery starts with the second beast, but is not fully accomplished until the sounding of the seventh trumpet. In order for the mystery to cease, Satan must be exposed. His diabolical plan of evil must be revealed to the world. Satan is the man of sin, the son of perdition, spoken of in these verses. The word perdition means destruction or ruin. Satan is the one who is bringing ruin and destruction to earth by deceiving earth's people. Of course, Satan has always been tempting humans and deceiving them in order to dethrone God and take his place. In Ezekiel 28, God speaks of Satan as one who is attempting to show himself as God. And all through the Bible, God refers to Satan's actions in symbolic forms which describe him and his work of evil in the earth. But because most of the descriptions are symbolic, the great majority of Earth's people cannot see the many ways that Satan deceives mankind and the many ways in which he destroys. For a long time, God hindered Satan from working in his most powerful ways, and Satan was only allowed to operate within certain boundaries. But as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the hindrance was to be removed according to the timetable that God has set. When the time came to begin revealing Satan's wickedness to the world, and that the whole mystery of iniquity was to be unraveled in order that the world might finally recognize the deception, God removed that which held Satan back, and Satan went forth in the earth to kill and destroy with a vengeance. It is the second beast of Revelation 13 which symbolizes the end of the hindrance to Satan. It was at this time that the second beast was unleashed into the world. However, the work of the second beast is still deceptive to the people of earth, even though it is the people of earth themselves who do the work of Satan. It is humans who build the structure which allows Satan to destroy intensely. The mode of power used to create this structure is the power of science and technology. And through the discoveries of science and technology, a most important concept is presented to humans. And this concept, which was never before introduced to humans in the whole history of Earth, is the concept of mankind's own power to exalt himself, even to the point of being as God and living forever. It is the concept of immortality, which has been suggested to the people of earth, and the spirit of Antichrist has risen up even stronger than before. Antichrist means that which is in opposition to Christ. Jesus is the Word of God. Therefore, Antichrist is anti-Word of God. Jesus is the Savior of mankind, and therefore the spirit of Antichrist suggests to the people of earth that mankind can save themselves. Jesus is the promise of eternal life. Therefore, the spirit of Antichrist suggests to the people that by the power of their own hands, they can develop the technology to extend their lives indefinitely. In short, through this second beast stage of his plan, Satan has introduced the hope to humans that there really is a fountain of life for humans, and that this fountain of life can be found by science and technology without ever again having to depend on God. But most of the people of Earth cannot see what Satan is doing and are ignorant of Satan's actual intent. Most people can't even see the dangers presented by modern inventions. No, I'm not suggesting that science and technology itself is bad, but the damage it can do when it is embraced more strongly than the embrace of godly things can destroy souls. But think about this. Scientific research continues to grow in volume and speed all the time. Notice that when this stage of Satan's plan first began, it was such a small thing. Sure, when electricity was first established, we had electric lights. But most people didn't think electric lights were much better than kerosene lamps. But then the lights got better. It was then discovered that electricity could cause a spark, and a spark could ignite fuel, and the ignited fuel could be released to drive a crankshaft, and the crankshaft could drive machinery. It was the electricity which could enable the combustion engine of automobiles and trucks to run, and airplanes to fly. It was electricity which could enable the communication of sound over long distances. It was electricity which could cause electronic circuitry to operate, thus making the way for computers. It was the fields of electricity which were at the very basis of every invention in the earth, for the earth and the universe are controlled by the positive and negative forces of electricity. In short, the notable miracle of the second beast of pulling fire down from heaven was the miraculous invention which was not carried out behind the scenes in the spirit realm of Satan, but in the very physical realm of mankind himself. In this last and greatest deception of Satan, the beast, that sin nature of Satan, has risen up in the earth itself, and now mankind has become the tool for their own deception. This deception, however, did not cease with the invention of automobiles or airplanes. It did not cease with the invention of electric lights, electric motors, or electric appliances. The deception has continued to increase at a greater and greater speed until we now see more new inventions of science on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis than we can ever keep up with. Inventions happen now at such great speed that most inventions are actually outdated before they have a chance to reach the marketplace. But of all the inventions, there is one invention that stands out from all the rest. No, it is not the possibility of immortality through biotechnology, cell reconstruction, or cloning. Immortality is just the lie of Satan with which he deceives the people. It's not that mankind could not at some time accomplish the feat of cloning human bodies as replacements for the ones that fail us if given enough time. This is not actually an impossibility. In fact, God himself has said that given enough time, mankind, if left alone, would be able to accomplish anything they imagine to do. He said this when speaking of the people who were building the Tower of Babel. In Genesis 11:6, it says, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people are one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." Here is God himself, making a very powerful statement, and saying that mankind was able to accomplish anything that he could imagine. However, it is God who will stop mankind from becoming all-powerful. It is God who will remain as the Almighty God. It is not humans who will take over the kingdom of God, and it is not Satan who will sit as their king. The writer of Ecclesiastes made an interesting statement. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, "Behold, this only have I found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." The inventions of mankind are many, but the greatest invention of man is the one that Revelation 13:14 describes. This verse says that the second beast convinces those people who dwell on the earth to create an image of the first beast, the beast that rose up out of the sea. And by the following scriptures in that passage, we can plainly see that the image of the beast was created. And look closely at this bit of detail. Notice that the image of the beast was not created by Satan, and it was not created by the second beast, but was created by the people of earth. And by the power of this second beast, given to him by the first beast, he causes this image to have life and causes it to speak. One important fact, though, the word used for life for this image is the original word called pneuma, which means breath or spirit. It's not the same thing as a living soul, but still it is something which appears alive just as humans, for it is spirited, it has movement. But this image is not an image of humans, but an image of the beast. It's a picture, an image, a portrayal of that which is the essence of the first beast. And the essence of the first beast is evilness. In short, this invention is none other than the projected images of television and movies. And it is an image which not only moves and speaks, but it portrays the absolute essence of the beast, for it is filled with filthiness. It is so filthy in its basest projections that it will stupefy people. It will make them numb. It will destroy the life right out of them. And this is what Satan intends that the abomination of desolation should do. But very few people, including Christians, realize that the abomination of desolation is the image of the beast nature, which is portrayed in every imaginable way on the silver screen. Abomination means that which is filthy in a wicked sense. The wickedness is filthiness, which is far removed from a holy spirit of righteousness. The wickedness that television and movies show is supreme, for this image of the beast accurately reflects a picture of evil, which is Satan himself. Sure, at first, the images which came on the screens of televisions and movies were not quite as wicked as they are today. But as anyone who watches them knows, the stuff on the screen is pretty bad. Myself, I don't have a TV, and I don't watch movies. What you do is up to you. I would recommend that you toss out your TV and trash the movies, but you'll have to be the judge of that. However, as the mystery of iniquity becomes more and more revealed as we progress toward the end of time, you will probably see what I mean sooner or later. But if you want to protect your soul, it would be best for you to make a bold stand for Christ and toss out everything of your house that interferes with the true Word of God. You see, it is the Word of God that Satan wants to destroy. Because by destroying the Word of God, Satan destroys not only God, but you and me as well. In order to protect our faith in God, it's necessary to put up a firewall between the world and our conscious mind. We can do this by refusing to let the lies of Satan enter in. No, we can't escape from this world, and we do have to be in the world in order to live. However, there is no law that says you have to invite the lies of Satan into your home. Satan is a liar. He lies to the whole earth, telling them that God is not really right in all things and that God isn't really all-powerful and that Jesus Christ is not really what the Bible says he is. But more than these plainly evident lies, Satan uses the subtlety of TV and movies to insinuate things which are not plainly spoken. Just watching TV and seeing how the actors and actresses dress in the movies and sitcoms is enough to instill in people a dress code and also a moral code. If you watch TV and movies, then you are bombarded with examples of the sin nature on a constant basis. The sin nature is displayed on TV and movies by presenting images which present both the words and actions which are contrary to righteousness. Just think of this one aspect. Clothes are often labeled with the manufacturer's name. If you see a shirt that says Old Navy, or shoes which say Nike or Jordanaires, you are seeing something that is worn because it is cool. And although most people don't think of the concept of being cool as being prideful, nevertheless, it is pride. To be cool is to dress act, or speak in such a way as to draw attention to yourself. The wearing of certain types of clothes or name brand clothes is a way of telling people that you are one of the in crowd. It is peer pressure which moves us to dress the way other people dress in order to be accepted by them. Otherwise, when they look down their noses at us, we feel rejected. Pride is that self-seeking attitude to puff yourself up to a greater image than the way God made you. If you like to drive a flashy or expensive car and enjoy the thought of other people watching you and approving of what you are and of what you drive, then you are being prideful. Pride is what Satan felt when he rebelled against God. And it is Satan's purpose to get every single person on earth to concentrate on their own selves so that they will soon lose any interest in concentrating on the things of God. But the Bible tells us that we are to set our minds on things above, not on things in this world, for the world will soon pass away, and then what will you have to show for yourself? You can't take money with you, and you can't take your Jordanaires with you. You can't take your Old Navy clothes with you, and your jewelry will just be consumed in the fire. However, the people of earth have been deceived into thinking that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life are concepts that are more important than the righteousness of God. But these things are not important. What is important is the love of God and the things of heaven that are promised to those who really do love God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of this life will all be consumed by the fire of God. So why do people refuse to let these things go? Why do people continue to glorify the things of earth and yet hardly give any glory to God? The answer to that is plain and simple. It is because of the beast nature of man. It is this sin nature which first rose up in Satan and then rose up in the people of earth, which is responsible for destroying the knowledge of God. And it is the television programs and movies which is Satan's biggest and most dangerous tool of all time. This is why Revelation 13 refers to the second beast, causing the people of earth to make the image of the beast. This image of evil is displayed daily before their eyes, and it brainwashes them. And because the image can also speak, the ears of people hear the wickedness every day, and they are brought quickly and surely to a stupefied state of mind with which they can no longer understand the deep, hidden things of God. They continue to think they're safe and will not be harmed in any way, but they are deceived because they did not love the truth of God, but rather loved to be tantalized and stimulated by the evilness of the flesh nature. You see, God created the earth, but he did not mean that the earth was to be our final home. Satan has been loosed into the world and has been allowed to tempt mankind with things which stimulate desire for fleshly things. But God hindered Satan from working strongly for a long time. From the time of creation up until the last few hundred years, Satan's power was inhibited, not being allowed to pass a certain point. However, when God took away the hindrance and Satan was allowed to go full steam ahead, then the second beast of Revelation 13 came into existence, and the people of earth took on the role of searcher and seeker for all that which brings power to man without it being from God. When the fire was pulled down from heaven, then Satan's evil machine was galvanized into action, and the deception leapt forward with giant strides. In a sense, the giants have returned to earth. Earth, compared to the inhabitants of past centuries, are a race of giants. They're a race of mighty men. However, they're not empowered by God, but are empowered by the work of Satan. The empowerment of mankind is a power that is not found in God's word, but a power that is found within the science and technology of the cosmos. It is the order of the universe that mankind is being deceived into putting his trust. It is the ability of the race of giants. Now this may be hard for you, but just think about the scripture in Genesis 6:4 about the giants who lived on earth before the flood. It says that the sons of God took them daughters of men, and that they produced offspring who became mighty men of old, men of renown. Now, people seem to put a lot of stock in muscles as a sign of strength, but the TV westerns of yesteryear taught us that the size of a man's muscles were no match for a revolver. We learned from those programs that an equalizer was a revolver which could take down anyone, even Goliath himself. We're now becoming a race of giants, which have been birthed through the ministrations of demons coupled with the flesh and blood of this world. The demon influence of Satan, coupled with the minds and bodies of men, have created a race of people who tower above every other race in the history of this world. Truly, the prince of darkness is destroying God's people left and right. And unless the time is shortened, no flesh would be saved. Unless the time is shortened, even God's elect people would eventually be deceived. And if this deception was allowed to happen, Satan would set himself on God's throne, and his reign of destruction would be complete. But the time will be shortened, and the great and terrible day of the Lord will soon bring about the destruction of the wicked, and also the destruction of everything that wickedness has built. I don't want to be part of the things of wickedness, and I hope you don't either. Therefore, I encourage every one of you who is listening to join me in an attempt to expel every lie possible from the confines of our homes. If your TV tells lies, then I encourage you to get rid of it. But then you probably will reply that the TV is not all that bad. You will also claim that you are very careful what you watch, and therefore you are safe. Well, this may sound good, but then what you're saying is that you can't really see how the image of the beast could already be here and how it already talks to you each and every day. And you probably can't see that we are fast approaching the very end of things and that the revealing of Satan and his evil plan will soon be complete. The mystery of iniquity will finally be revealed completely at the last trump. But if you wait until then, you're going to be too late. Please don't wait. Please don't pretend that you can handle Satan's temptations. You can't overcome that which you invite to come home with you. If you take Satan's images and words home with you, you're inviting trouble into you and into your family. But if you want freedom, then kick that stuff out of your home. And no, you're probably not strong enough to do it cold turkey, but pray about it, please, before it's too late. We're approaching the end of time with lightning speed. And I do mean lightning speed.